Address, please, because there might be some announcements about the class in the next few weeks that we want to make sure you guys are all updated. Next week, there will be a change in the class. We don't know when, though. The problem is that Friday is not available because the building is not available, and Thursday I'm in New Jersey, unfortunately. So we'll let you know over email if you decide to hold a class next week. Hopefully, we will. The timing and stuff, we'll let you know, provided you give us your email address. Right, and the second announcement was about the books itself. We've been trying to get these books shipped out to us to see how many of you are interested in actually getting the book itself. There will be obviously a charge for it. And just a show of hands, is this pretty much what people want across the board? Yeah, sisters as well? You're willing to pay a nominal fee for that as well? Okay. So we're trying. I don't know why it's so difficult, but it is for some reason. We're trying to get books shipped before Muharram, inshallah. That way, even during the break of Muharram, you guys can still keep up with your readings. The recap that we have, we've reached a very critical part in our class. We have essentially identified God in our classes. We've identified who Allah is. We've qualified Allah. We've even quantified Allah. We gave him qualities, and we proved to us that he only has to be one. There cannot be two Allahs. And we did that by starting way back 8 weeks ago, talking about why you and I need religion. And we proved to ourselves that religion brings a lot to the table. Without religion, we cannot attain perfection. Because religion gives us that definition of perfection that we're looking for. Last week we talked about the eternal, if you guys recall that discussion. Very nice discussion about the eternal. What the eternal should look like, how the eternal should operate, the qualities, the specifications, all these different aspects of what the eternal is, we discussed. And we talked about how that eternal cannot be matter. Those who deny God claim that the first essence in this universe was matter. Because matter has no beginning and has no end. We killed that argument, of course. We completely destroyed it, alhamdulillah, with our discussion last week. There should be no doubt left in our minds. Now the discussion becomes very easy. Okay? The difficult part is over. You guys were able to digest the very difficult discussion on existence. You guys were able to digest the very difficult discussion on our perfection, how it's relative and not absolute. You guys were able to digest the conversation of the eternal and his qualities. Now, we've identified Allah, we've begun the discussion of Tawheed. Everything else now should make complete sense to you. The difficult part was to bring you to this point where now, not because your father believes in God, but now you guys should all believe in Allah, inshallah. So, today we talk about the actual essence of Tawheed. I've often heard in speeches from different speakers throughout the year the concept of Tawheed, or the uniqueness of God, not the oneness of God, the uniqueness of God, is a verb, not a noun. It's an action, it's not a belief. Right? Or as you know, we call it Tawheeding in the Hausa. It's a verb. What does that mean? We'll discuss that today. Tawheed, Allah's oneness or uniqueness, has two very distinct branches. One called Tawheed al-Zati, one called Tawheed al-Fi'li. His essence, his action. There are qualities that he possesses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that are belonging to his essence, his zat. and they define him as an individual. Just like you and I have an essence, our characteristics define us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala equally has attributes that are about him and him alone. They're called tawhid-e zati. Tawhid-e fi'li are those attributes that exist between us as his creation and him as a creator. For example, him being a khaliq, a creator. Him being a raziq, a sustainer. Him being a rabb, a lord for us. These all define attributes that exist between us as the possible existence and him as the wajibul existence. Okay? So, for example, in his essence, we have three very distinct qualities. His life, his hayat, his knowledge, his ilm, his power, his qudrat. Alright? We discussed the first one to a fairly good enough detail where you guys can be able to tell me how do we prove or discuss that Allah is alive or Allah has life from last week's discussion. Ya Allah, who can tell me? Why do we claim that Allah is a living matter, or a living essence? Yes.
He could not create things that are living if he was not living himself.
Alright, that's something. So, number point is to create life. You must have life, for lack of better grammar. And we discussed that last week. To a good enough level where you guys were able to understand it. Okay? We refer to him as all life. That was my foot. Because there's no brush here. That's fine. So just to prove this point and keep going, thank you. This spot here goes in the front. So to create life, you must have life. Because we have life, he has life, and vice versa. Where you see a manifestation, you have to have a manifester. Alright? So where us as possible existences, where we have life, that necessary existence has to have life. Okay? Pretty basic knowledge. Manifester of life. This is really important. What about his knowledge? What about his knowledge? Tell you about.
So that Allah himself is knowledge.
Okay.
It doesn't seem plausible to say he has knowledge, he is knowledge.
Okay, how can we prove that?
I mean, if I try to think back to what we've discussed, yeah. I mean, we try to know all that claims that claim to know God is in knowledge, but when you can't know God, that is knowledge, because it's the continuous search for to know more and more. Right?
Okay, good. That's one point. Second point is what? Talk to me about the fact that he is a necessary existence. What were some of the qualities of that necessary existence? How can we identify what a wajib al-wujud is, guys? Give me one.
Self-existence.
Self-existing. Good. What else?
Self-sufficient.
Self-sufficient. What else? Yes.
No change.
Okay, good. No change. What's his role as a necessary existence? What does he do to us?
Provide.
What else?
Makes it possible for us to exist.
So he gives us existence, right? Because we're not able to exist on our own. This wajib al-wujud gives us existence. So if he was not knowledgeable, did not have ilm across the board, he wouldn't be able to do all these things. So by the very definition of him being a necessary existence, he's also all-knowing. All-knowing because he is a necessary existence. Those taking notes, like I said, I'm just putting up the points. You can elaborate on your own notes. One thing I want to read from the book directly. Who was it last week? Jeremy. He's not here today. Jeremy brought up the idea that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-powerful, and we'll discuss that next, is can he create a rock or a boulder heavier than he himself, that he can't carry? Right? Very famous question. So Ayat al-Misbah addresses that very issue in this book. One salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. He says, an action that is dependent upon power must have the possibility of being actualized. Thus, whatever is essentially impossible or absurd, he writes, will never have any connection to power. The fact that God possesses power does not mean he will create another God, does not mean he will make the number 2 greater than number 3, does not mean that he will create a son before his father. The fact that God possesses the power to do everything does not necessarily mean that he will do everything. However, whatever he intends, he will execute. God, who is all-wise, cannot perform an act that is unwise. However much he might have the capacity to do so, he will not do so. Okay? So for example, we have the power to do a lot as human beings. We have the power to jump off a 5-story building. We have the power to jump in front of a moving train. We have a power of eating poison. Do we do all these things? Of course not. Does that mean that you are powerless? Of course not. Right? That means that you have wisdom. It means you have maturity. It means that you're a smart person. It means that having power doesn't mean that you'll do anything and everything. Okay? This idea of can God make 2 + 2 = 5? He can, but would he? Of course not. Right? Because this entire world will tell you that with knowledge, God also has wisdom and hikmah. He does things in a very wise order. All right? Power.
Yes.
When you said God didn't make 2 + 2 = 5 because, you know, it's not wise to, can you apply that same answer to can God create a boulder he can't carry? Because, okay, it's not wise to do it. You said, yes, he can make 2 + 2 = 5, but it's not wise to. But can he create a boulder? We know it's not wise, but could he?
Of course he can.
That he can't carry?
Can you jump off a 14-story building?
Yeah.
You can. Would you?
No.
Okay. So, does that make you powerless? The fact that you wouldn't jump off a 14-story building, does that make you powerless?
No.
Right? So it makes you wise,
okay.
The fact that you wouldn't. But it has no connection to power. So your wisdom, your intelligence, and your power are not connected. The question is connecting his wisdom to his power. Okay? Where it's wise, he executes his power. Where it's not wise, he doesn't. Doesn't mean he can't, but he won't. Okay? So in terms of the power, like I said, Again, guys, let me just repeat myself here. Because we discussed thoroughly the attributes of a necessary existence, all of these now should make sense to you. Because he is a necessary existence, he has to be all-knowing. Because he's wajib al-wujud, he has to be all-powerful. If he isn't, he relies on somebody else for their power. He depends on somebody else for the knowledge. And we discussed last week, that's not possible. There's no dependence of God. There's no compound or mixture of God. Right? That's why this today's dars will be very simple for you guys to swallow. It's good, though, for you as Muslims to build and fortify that belief in God. Okay? So again, pretty much all of these will go back to those qualities that make him the wajib al-wujud. Yeah? Because he is necessary existence. Otherwise dependent. And weak. Okay? So if there is a force out there, an existence out there, that's more powerful than him, he's admitting his weakness. That's not possible. Or if he says, look, I can't do this, but I know someone who can do it, that's dependence. Right? Or if he says, look, it's not my department, he can take care of it for you, that's a compound. So all these things are all rejected by us. Right? So inside of his sifat-e-zatiyah, inside of the qualities of the essence, we talk about life, knowledge, and power. Are there questions about that so far? Don't think there should be, no? Alright. Can someone please hunt down the brush for me somehow, downstairs? Go, please. There should be one downstairs. Alright, so the second set of qualities of Tawheed is Tawheed al-Fi'li, or the Tawheed of the action, or action Tawheed, or the attributes of action that are connected to his essence. Okay? And again, we'll discuss three. Of course, there are many, but just to get a taste of what these are about, and then of course you can apply those to the other qualities. One, of course, is his idea of the Creator, his Khaliqiyat. We talk about him being a creator. What do we know about him and his creatorship? Talk to me, guys. What do we know?
It has no boundary.
Sorry?
It has no boundary.
Okay. What
creator of the universe. Creator Sorry. Of the universe.
Okay. How can you prove that, sister? Sorry. Alright, let me finish the thought going.
He sustains his creation.
He sustains his creation. Good. Good. But right now, just talking about the fact that he creates. So, just what Fatima said about the perfection point. The reason why we spent 2 weeks talking about our road to perfection and how we are driven by perfection is for this point right here in the class. Okay? So because he is perfection in his self, because he has no flaws, he's flawless himself. There is no error in him, there's no change in him, there's nothing in him. He is the ultimate perfection. We become what? We become the manifestation of that perfection. Right? So if he is ultimately perfect, whatever he creates either becomes perfect or has the potential to be perfect. That's why we discussed that for 2 weeks. Our potential of perfection. For that reason alone. Because he is a manifester of perfection, he himself has to have perfection himself. And everything that he does. Thank you. Everyone sign this? Sisters, brothers alike, everybody? Class listing.
I said there.
Sorry? You didn't?
No. Thank you.
So again, I'll read from the book here. It says, the word creation can at times be used in a very limited way, such as when it defines material existence as compared to the concept of innovation, which considers matter preceding it. The ability of God to create can never be compared to human activity, which requires movement and the using of limbs. The achievement of this action is known as the result of this action. It's not the cause, it's not the case that creating is one thing and being created is something else. In addition to the fact that God transcends motion and bodily existence, God's creating is different from our creating. So you and I also create. But his creating, of course, is completely different. All right. Why is this important? When we look at discussion on death, for example, and other outwardly evils, quote unquote, one of the things that we talk about when we say, why do we fear death so much? To the point we can't even say the word in our home sometimes. Right? Our mom gets so upset if you mention death or me dying or someone dying. It's because we have this negative cloud over the word death. But if you look at the idea, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ, the idea that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created death, then we see death is what? It's what? Which makes it what? Yeah, perfect. Right? Which makes it flawless. Right? So anytime that you are attracted by perfection, which we all are, we're also attracted by manifestations of perfection. That's why the love of the Ahlul Bayt is very innately inside of us. Because they're perfect human beings. The more we know about them, the more we're bound to love them. Because they're perfect human beings. Alright? Similarly, if we knew more about death being a perfect creation, we would not be scared of death. For example, it's one example of death. Right? Our ignorance, our lack of awareness, is not allowing us to see that death is a creation of God. Not just the ending of life. Right? So when it comes to this, again, it's important that, you know, we talk about, if we see anything as a creation of God, we respect it. The environment, animals, each other, etc. That's where it comes from. Because that existence itself is perfect. Okay? One main difference we talked about last week, why matter cannot be this necessary existence. So we have matter, where the people who deny God claim that it has no beginning, it has no end. Thus, it's eternal. And an eternal existence has to be the start of this universe. Thus, matter is the start of this universe. We say that, fine, we'll give you that one if you want. Matter is the start of the universe. But we're not talking about the start of the universe, are we? Where's the difference lie between our discussion about the start of the universe and their discussion? Fatima.
We don't believe that the universe was initial cause.
I'm not going there. Sorry?
We believe that.
No. Talk to me about the certain qualities that our necessary existence has to have that matter can never have. And that, in turn, lies the difference between our definition and their definition. What are we looking for in this existence? Just the concept of creation alone?
The afterlife.
What about the afterlife? Is that all I want from this existence? That's Allah, is for Him to create me? What else do I need from God? Sorry?
Sustainment.
What else do I need from God? Sorry? Sure, His help. What else do I need from God? Tell me. His life, His love, His mercy. I need all these things from God. I don't want Him to create me and just leave. Because we prove that you and I cannot exist on our own. We can't do it. Otherwise, we wouldn't need Him. So I don't need someone to flip the switch and leave. I need someone to stick around and make sure the lights are always on. Right? I need someone to constantly be there. So matter, Fatima, what I was getting to, matter cannot provide that sustenance for me. Right? It might be the creator of the universe, or the first existence, fine. We reject that also. But after that, matter dies away. So what is that connection constantly every single day that we ask Allah for help and for mercy and for love and for forgiveness? It's His rububiyat. It's His lordship. Right? It's that constant connection to Allah that we have. The constant prayer for sustenance, the constant prayer for forgiveness, the constant prayer for protection from this and from that. That's where we call our Allah, our Rabb, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi. That's why. It's the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's that connection, like I said, between this light and that switch over there. There is a current running. Wow. Electricity running, not current. Electricity running between that switch and this light. And that constant feed of power is, you can call it, yeah, I'll take that. Just sign that. Is a constant rububiyat, you can say, of this light between that switch. Okay? I use this example many, many times. Okay? To come into this hall and flip that switch isn't enough. The most that happens, it'll spark the light and then it'll be dark again. I need that constant connection. I need that connection between me and Allah until He says it's time now for you to leave this world. Okay? That's His rububiyyah. That's one of the most important sifat al-fi'lis that we have of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sifat are qualities in English. Fi'li are actions. His rububiyyah, His lordship. Okay? Are there questions about this one? Yes.
You probably explained this last week, but you said we need that constant guidance from Allah,
yeah,
and all that help. So how is it that matter can't help us and matter will die down afterwards?
Okay, so matter. Okay, so who was here last week, and can you answer this question? Most of us' question was, how can matter not help us and not sustain us and not give us all of that? Okay, so last week, Mustafa, we listed six qualities of what the eternal should have, right? Self-sufficient, self-existing, can't change. What else was there?
Have the compound or mixture.
Compound or mixture. All life. Sorry?
Doesn't take up space or time.
Doesn't take up space or time. All these things. These qualities have to be part of what the eternal is that you and I call it. As Allah. Matter changes, neither takes up space and time, Matter is not self-existent. Matter is not all life, right? All these things are not. So when I'm looking for some existence to give me sustenance, I cannot look to matter that's limited within a certain body.
Can you give me like one example on any one of those? Like how something like how matter just can't help us and God helps us in like one scenario?
A scenario. You tell me that if you need help or if you're looking for forgiveness for some of your sins, would a piece of matter help you?
Well, had I believed matter was the first creation, I wouldn't need forgiveness for my sins because I wouldn't feel the sin.
Okay, so we don't claim it to be the first creation. We claim it to be the beginning of the universe. And we had this discussion last week. Yeah. But we look for it to be the first creation, as they call it. But after that, it falls down the ladder because it doesn't have those certain qualities worth before. Right? It changes, for example. It takes up space and time. It's not self-sufficient, etc., etc. All
right.
Okay? So we discussed that last week in detail. After the class, I'll talk to you about that. His rububiyyah, is that good? So next time you hear the dua, Ya Rabbi, it should be a different feeling now. Like a male, right? 9 times you say Ya Rabbi every Thursday, it should be a different feeling. We're asking him for everything, his entire connection with us. And it doesn't matter. It could be risk, it could be forgiveness, it could be my kids, my spouse, me, my parents, whatever the case may be. I'm asking him to continue that connection between me and him to be as strong as possible. Like I said, the moment that we strengthen the ties between us as a possible existence and him as a wajibul existence, that connection gets stronger and stronger, our perfection becomes more and more attainable. And that should make sense to everybody now. After 8 weeks of this class. His mercy. Before I do that, sorry. So Ahmad Isbah identifies 2 types of lordships in his book. I just want to discuss that, and then I'll move on to the last part, the last quality. Division here. Allah Nisbah says that He's not only the Lord of us, but those existences that do not have free will. And then He says the second one are those who have free will, like you and I. So for example, the appointment of a prophet, the sending of heavenly books, the giving of sustenance, etc., etc., it all comes from number 2, the legislative lordship. Number 1 is the affairs of every creation out there, whether you have free will or not, okay? So again, proving to the point that He's just not our Lord, He is of the entire universe. Okay? And similarly, you've heard this several times, just as a recap, of course, He has mercy of 2 points. He has His Rahmaniyat and His Rahimiyat. What's the difference? When we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, is Rahman is Rahim. What's the difference? Yes?
One is for everyone, one is only for believers.
Good, Ahsan. So one is a general mercy, one is specific. Okay? So you see individuals out there that don't believe in God, but they're still being given risk and some sort of happiness and food at their table and clothes on their back and lots of money in their pocket, that's Allah's Rahmaniyat kicking in. Okay? And then with us, inshallah, those who are believers, He also has His Rahimiyat, which is a specific type of forgiveness. Okay? Are there questions about this today? Pretty straightforward. Okay? Nothing too mind-blowing? Yes, ma'am?
The one where you said it's legislative is for people, for anything that has free will.
Yeah.
Is that just for believers or just anything?
No. Anything that has free will. But then there are levels within that, right? Of course.
Yeah.
Right?
So if it's like animals or
something. Yeah. If they have, well, animals don't have free will, do they? Whatever has free will, he's also included in that, and whatever doesn't is also included. The point that he's trying to make here, Allah Mitzvah, his lordship covers every existence across the board. Right? From vegetables to animals to us to whatever the case may be.
What does the first one
say? If you can pronounce that, I'll give you $10. It's right there. Okay, he goes on to talk about, in lesson 11, he talks about, you know, Allah's wisdom, Allah's truth, Allah's speech, for example. And again, these are all aspects that are just a continuation or a branch of the stuff that we discussed. What's important from these discussions about his qualities are, is proof. Okay? It's one thing to say that Allah is powerful over all things, Allah knows everything, Allah is always there, Allah is merciful. But you have to have proof. Okay? And that proof is very, very essential. And that proof stems from the past 7 weeks of our discussion about from religion all the way up to this point now. Okay? And I think that's it for today. We're going to end early. Because then it goes off into why do people deviate off the path? And then some doubts about some of these issues talked about. So we'll leave that, inshallah, for next week. Are there any questions at all? Yes, what?
I missed the question, like, the lecture last week, so I don't know if this is too long, but you already discussed it, but you know how you said Allah has all life, but, like, by definition, doesn't, like, something having life means it has to die, so that doesn't obviously apply to Allah?
It doesn't assume it has to die, no. You can also say that something that has all life has to also be created. Right? So the same way that he wasn't created and yet he still has life, is the same way he'll still be there when nothing is there, even though no one's there to end his life. Because one of the things about the possible, the necessary existence is that it cannot have termination. I don't say it was a very simple darse, and that's okay. I mean, you guys have been warping your minds for the past, 5-6 weeks. Today was a reminder. Tomorrow, next week, inshallah, we'll look at some deviations, some doubts, inshallah, see if we can resolve some of the issues that we've had, that he brings up on the spot himself, that right now exists in the world. And again, look out for an email from one of us about next week's class. We don't know what day it's going to be yet. Hopefully we can have it next week. I don't know what time or day, inshallah. We'll email you. Make sure you guys have that page, have that form signed, please, inshallah. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.